Hello and welcome to the first installment of the Month of Madness. I'm Matthew Coverman alongside Skylar Knorr with your ultimate March Madness source.
The phrase March Madness was first coined in connection with the NCAA in 1982 when sportscaster Brent Musburger uttered it during his tournament coverage. The phrase was ultimately at the center of a 1996 legal entanglement with the Illinois High School Boys Championship team, which had been using it since 1939. The court proceedings led to the highly unusual decision granting each party its own separate rights to the dual-use trademark.
1939 was the inaugural year of the NCAA tournament. Only 8 teams competed for the title, with the Oregon Webfoots emerging victorious over the Ohio State Buckeyes with a final score of 46-33.
Though it is regarded today as the consolation bracket, the National Invitation Tournament, or the NIT, predates the NCAA tournament by 1 year and was seen by many as the superior of the two tournaments, well into the 1950s. In fact, between 1943 and 1945, the respective winners of the NIT and NCAA tournaments faced off against one another in order to secure a true national championship title.
Until the mid-1950s, teams were permitted to participate in both the NIT and NCAA tournaments. City College of New York is the only school to land both titles, in both brackets, accomplishing the singular feat in 1950.
University of Michigan's all-time scorer, Glenn Rice, holds the record for points scored in a single tournament at 184, a mark he set in 1989. Duke power forward Christian Laettner owns the career record for 407 points scored across 23 tournament games. Certainly the most famous of these points was his buzzer beater to secure the 1992 championship over Kentucky.
If you're a fan of defense, you would not have been impressed with the second-round 1990 matchup between LMU and Michigan. The two combined for a 149-115 score, the highest total in tournament history.
The University of North Carolina holds the record for the worst loss in tournament history. The Tar Heels are widely recognized for their historical excellence, but they also hold this ignominious distinction. In 1941, they set a record for ineffectiveness, which still stands, logging a humiliating 20 points in a losing effort against Pittsburgh in that year's East Regional Semifinal.
Indiana boasts the youngest head coach to win a national title when head coach Emmett Branch McCracken guided the Indiana Hoosiers to a championship in 1940. He wasn't that far out of college himself. At 31, he became the youngest man ever to coach a national title. He led his team to another in 1953.
Only 3 men can claim champion status as both player and coach. Joe B. Hall registered both achievements with Kentucky, Bob Knight with Ohio State and Indiana, and Dean Smith, first on the court with Kansas and on the sideline with North Carolina.
Only one coach has ever won both championships in the NCAA and NBA. Current Southern Methodist University play caller Larry Brown, who did it with the Kansas Jayhawks in 1988 and the Detroit Pistons in 2004.
The University of Connecticut is the only school to have fielded men's and women's national championship teams in the same year, and they've done it twice. The Huskies ran the table in 2004 and 2014.
Prior to this year, the tournament has been played 77 times, and the University of Kentucky has been invited 55 times. 17 of these appearances have ended in Final Four bursts and 8 in championships.
Marquette and Kentucky have faced off 10 times in tournament's history. Amazingly, in spite of Kentucky's 8 championships and Marquette's lone 1977 title, the Golden Eagles hold a tournament edge on the Wildcats by a record of 6-4.
Kentucky is pretty good, but with 11 titles, UCLA is the tournament's most decorated champion. 10 of those titles were earned under legendary coach John Wooden, and 7 of them came in a row. UCLA was the only college to top the ladder between 1967 to 1973.
March 15th is Selection Sunday. This will set the bracket of 68. We have teams already that have punched the ticket. This past Saturday, the Mountain West Championship and Ohio Valley Championships were decided. In the Mountain West, Utah State stunned San Diego State by a score of 59-56 on Sam Merrill's game-winning buzzer beater. The Aggies took down the one-loss Aztecs in a stunner. In the Ohio Valley Championship, Belmont outlasted Murray State, beating them by a score of 76-75. Sunday, the Big South, Missouri Valley, and Atlantic Sun Championships were decided. In the Big South, Winthrop overcame Hampton's early lead and defeated them by a score of 76-68. In the Missouri Valley, Bradley defeated Valpo 80-66. And in the Atlantic Sun, Liberty rolled past Lipscomb by a score of 73-57, which is Liberty's second consecutive trip to the Big Dance. On Monday, the Southern Conference Tournament Championship was decided as East Tennessee State took down last year's champion in Wofford by a score of 72-58 behind Isaiah Tisdale's 24 points. There are still 26 conference tournaments to be played out, all in the span of now until March 15th. Teams will fight for their chance to qualify automatically for the NCAA tournament.
As we read there, the tournament champions have already punched their ticket to the Big Dance. We look at the predicted bracket, the most recent predicted bracket, and the projected, right now, the four projected number one seeds are Kansas, Gonzaga, Baylor, and Dayton. And is there one of those teams that kind of surprises you that they've are projected to be a number one seed?
Dayton's really a surpriser. I mean, they really came out of nowhere in maybe a smaller conference, not a strong conference, but I think they're fit. They got a player of the year candidate in Obi Toppin that really leads them, a big guy down the middle that can also run the floor and transition and really helps that team get going. So I think they're a surpriser, but they can make the run to possibly a Final Four appearance this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Dayton's a really good team. It's kind of got hot and stayed hot where they've needed to. And I think they're gonna be a factor come late March. As far as some other teams down here, as we look, Ohio State comes to mind here. They're a 6 seed right now, and they've been all the way up to 2 in the rankings at one point, and then they just kind of flatlined when they started the Big Ten regular season, and now they're kind of starting to just now get hot again towards the end, right when they need to.
Ohio State was my preseason pick to win the national championship, and they started off 9-0, I believe, in non-conference, and then they hit the conference, like you said, and struggled, which the Big Ten is a very good conference this year. You got teams like Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, I mean, Indiana even, like teams like that are tough games every night for them, but I still believe in Ohio State. I think they can make a run. They're sitting at a 6 seed. They're projected to play East Tennessee State, the Southern Conference champion that we just talked about there, which is also a very good team. I watched that game. East Tennessee State can really shoot the 3-ball well. So that'll be a tough test for Ohio State, but I think they can make a run this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Ohio State's very well coached. They've got a lot of when they get rolling there, they can really shoot the three as good as anybody. And they've got a couple big guys in there that are just really good. And when they play Ohio State basketball, they could beat anybody.
Yes, I agree. And I know your pick this year was probably Duke. You're a Duke guy. They also most started off strong, but also had their struggles in conference and with teams this year. What do you think their chances are of running the table this year?
Yeah, they did struggle. They were, you know, preseason, that was my pick. I thought they're still a younger team, but when you've got Mike Krzyzewski at the helm, it kind of makes you feel a little more positive about the season. And I was really positive until they kind of started to hit some brick walls in the ACC when they lost games they should have won historically over some teams such as Clemson and Wake Forest. But I think they, you know, coming into the tournament, Coach K, you know, make the argument he's Mr. March. He's won all kinds of games in the Division I bracket. So I think they're going to be a factor for sure. It just is going to depend on what kind of Duke team we see. If we see early season Duke when they were playing some good teams, or if they're going to struggle against teams that maybe they're favored to win by a large margin, and maybe they are going to be surprised that they're going to play some of these teams a lot closer.
Yeah, I agree. They are a young team, but they also got a leader on the court in Trey Jones that's been there last year, especially playing with NBA players now and Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett. He's really a leader. He's helped them win some games this year and hitting game winners, sending it in overtime against North Carolina on that crazy missed foul shot, got it back, threw it up. So he's really a leader on the court that can help them. They are a young team, but they got good young players in Vernon Carey and Cassius Stanley that I believe also that they can make a run, and most importantly, Coach K and his experience. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. He knows how to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of the ACC, another team here we look at is projected number two in Florida State. And I just think that's a team that's really, really good. And I think they can really make a run, especially with they've just got a really good defense that Leonard Hamilton's got in place there. And they've played a lot of really good teams in the ACC to prove themselves, I think, as one of the contenders, certainly, for this national championship.
Yes, I totally agree. Tough conference they came out. They won that conference outright, I'm pretty sure, in the regular season. So that's a plus. They got, you know, confidence coming into this, heading into the ACC tournament this weekend. And I believe they can run the table. Like you said, their defense. I mean, you got to play defense. The defense leads in the offense, I truly do believe. And it's an experienced team. Like you said, with Leonard Hamilton, he's always got his team. Florida State's always there every year. No matter if they're a 2 seed, a 1 seed, or a 10 seed, they're going to be there and in the end and giving you a competitive game every time.
Absolutely. Another ACC team that's projected 4 seed right now, too, is Louisville, who was all the way. They were number one in the standings earlier this year and kind of hit a road bump too, but are starting to play some good basketball again late in the season.
Yes, it seemed like everybody hit a road bump this year in college basketball. This one season that we really don't have a dominant team. It's been a while. It's been a long time like that. And Louisville did. They started out good. They got a pure scorer in Jordan Nora that plays the guard/forward position that can really score the ball. And they got a chance. I really do believe they got a chance to be a Final Four team, possibly win the championship. I really do believe that. The ACC, I mean, they battle-tested them. They played a tough non-conference schedule, and I believe they can run the table. That's one team to look out for this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they've got a lot of teams off to get by with some real talent in Kansas and even Kentucky. They're sitting at number two in their part of the bracket there that they'll have to.
Tough side of the bracket right there. Very tough. And speaking of Kansas, that's one team that, I mean, that's if there's not a dominant team, Kansas has lost. They've had some road bumps also. But if we had to pick one team that's I think, fit to win it all this year, I would have to go with Kansas. Very well coached with Bill Self. It's got experience at the point guard position with Dotson and experience at the center position with Azubuike. Them two really work together in the pick and roll. A couple weeks ago, they beat Baylor, the number one seed. Baylor was the longest number one seed this year, I believe, and they knocked off Baylor. And that's really what solidified what I think now, that they're the top contender to win the national championship this year.
Yeah, you can certainly make an argument for that. And with that being said, the Big 12 is also a conference that is just very historically, it's a pretty good basketball conference itself with West Virginia and Baylor and Kansas, of course. As far as, you know, it's just unbelievable how all these conferences – and there's teams that you think should be dominant, but they just get in these conference schedules and just kind of just falter, and they think they're going to go through it without a scrape, and some of them.
Yep, that's why it's called March Madness, I guess. These kids are, we think of them as grown men, but they're really kids. They're 19 years old, I mean, playing basketball, and we have such high expectations for these kids. And when you're doing it every night, I mean, you don't get much break. they're going to school, you get rest, and office. Everything. I mean, you don't get rest, and they're going to school, like I said. It's just hard to go in there every night and have a good game. So, we'll have to see this year what this bracket holds and what they got.
Exactly, and it's just going to be it's unpredictable as always, but this year just seems like there's no chance you'll have a perfect bracket or anything. You know, you'll just kind of be scratching your head by the end of March.
Yep. Probably won't see a perfect bracket this year. It's hard to get a perfect bracket in the years that you have top contenders. But this year, it's going to be crazy. I can really feel it. I can't wait for Selection Sunday. This March 15th. Be looking for that.
Absolutely. For Skylar Knorr, I'm Matthew Coverman. Thank you for watching The Month of Madness. See you next time.